This call is being recorded.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Cooking Without Looking TV show podcast. Today, we have someone that you've met already on our Cooking Without Looking TV show powered by Zoom. She is Jane Butler. Jane, how are you?
I'm doing great, Renee. Thanks.
Good. Well, hey, what kind of feedback did you get after you were on the show? Because you made some amazing slow cooker potatoes. Was it garlic potatoes?
It was garlic and basil and oregano tied in with the herbs that we had planted from the botanical garden. So we kind of tied it all together.
Yeah, I wanted to jump through the screen and eat them. They just sounded so good.
So, they were, but I was very sick of potatoes when we were done.
Oh, man, I can imagine. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Jane.
All right. Well, I was sighted until I was 41, which was almost 11 years ago. So I lived my life as a sighted person, driving, working, raising a family, all kinds of things that you do and take for granted in a sighted world. And when I was 41, I woke up one morning with a scratch in my left eye, and I went to the eye doctors, and he said there was an ulcer on my cornea. And that was the beginning of what is called cicatricial pemphigoid, which is the breaking down of the cornea by ulcerations of the mucous membrane. So there can be other pemphigoids in different mucous membranes of your body, but mine attacked my eyes, and it progressed and progressed. And in the beginning, I was a very sad person. I just sat around on the couch, and people brought me things to eat or to drink, and I didn't go into the kitchen much because I was kind of afraid of what to do. You know, it was a matter of having to make accommodations for myself. And I think in the beginning, I wasn't ready to make any accommodations because I was still trying to live in a sighted world while losing my vision. And I just sat around, and people would call me and check on me, and all I could say is, I can't see, I can't see. And I think people got tired of hearing that, because the calls got fewer and fewer, until one day I just woke up and I said, you know what? I am going to live my life because I need to do this. So I did, and now I live independently on my own in my own apartment, and I cook and clean and do everything I used to do, just with not as much sight.
So about how much sight do you have left?
In my right eye, I have fuzzy vision a little bit, and my left eye, hardly anything. I can see colors and shapes, and like if I'm working in the kitchen and I use maybe this blue bowl that I go to a lot for measuring over or mixing things in, I can see that contrasting to the stove. But I have to use a cane, and when I'm outside, I have to rely on my cane or sighted guide because the light filtration is so bad, even with filter glasses, that all I see is white light. But inside my house, if you were to come over, it's dark, very dark, and I only keep the hood light over the kitchen on, and I have little LED night lights all throughout the house, and that's how I get around, and I can actually see kind of where the table is and other things like that. So the darker for me, the better. And my friends refer to my house as the Bat Cave. Everyone says, you live at the Bat Cave. So, or the mole hole, because it's so dark all the time.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, that is a funny thing because as a sighted person, I've walked into my friends' homes who were blind. And this was when I first started working with people who are blind, and it didn't dawn on me. So I'm like one of those, man, you better have the sun right in the living room. It all bright, just whip open yeah. the things. And I walked in and goes, Celia, do you want me to open the curtains for you? She goes, well, it's not going to help much. I don't see anything. And I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I have to have the blinds closed because on a sunny day, it's tough for me sometimes. And also on humid days, I know Kevin and I both have this problem. On humid days, the cornea gets, I don't know if it gets swollen from water or what, but our humid days are fuzzier days. And we've been having very, very humid days here lately. So if anything I was seeing is more fuzzy, I've had to rely on using my Braille for my recipes and, you know, making sure that when I check out a can in the storage unit that it is definitely what I want. And I usually Braille all my jars and cans anyway. But
That's interesting. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
You mentioned Braille. So did you actually take all sorts of courses now, the Braille and everything in orientation and mobility? Did you take all those courses?
I took orientation and mobility. In fact, I was so against using a cane that I told the woman that was going to be my mobility instructor I didn't need it. And then I called back about a month later, and I remember she came upstairs. I was at my parents' house, and she kind of cornered me and she said, you're either going to do this and learn it, or you're going to be completely dependent on people the rest of your life. And I cried. I had a breakdown moment because I was actually going to have to use a cane and move on and, you know, doing whatever I wanted to do as a blind person in the sighted world. And so I did the mobility, and we Braille dotted microwave and oven and things like that at the time. But I'm not Braille, we bump dotted. We used the bump dots. The Braille comes in October of 2019. Kevin's group said they were going to do a Braille class, and I signed up for everything for that group. So I said, yeah, I'll be in. Well, I was the only one that signed up, and Kevin's wife, Leah, who's a good friend of mine, said, I'm going to teach you. So at first I was a little nervous because a lot of my friends that are blind said, you can't learn Braille as an adult because your fingers aren't sensitive enough. But apparently mine were and are. And so I learned on a Perkins Brailler, which is the machine that people Braille on. I did not learn on a Slayton stylus. So I have a Perkins here at my house. It's like a typewriter, but for Braille. And that's how I do all my Braille. But we did every Friday for a year. I started in October of 2019, and then we went through the pandemic until October 2020. And at the time when we couldn't meet and get together in person, she would mail me through snail mail my Braille homework, and then we would talk on speakerphone, and each of us would have our Braille machines, and we would work together that way. So it took about a year to learn. I know grade one, which is using letters as if they were in the English, regular written English language. Grade two is contractions and stuff, and I started that, but it was a little overwhelming at the time, so I may go back to it.
Oh, so it took you a whole year, and are you comfortable with it?
Oh, yes, yes. I love it. I love languages, and in one way, Braille's kind of another language, and so I enjoyed it. A funny story, I went to the eye doctors the other day, and I was so bored in the waiting room, and I joked around with my eye doctor. I said, it's so boring in your waiting room, and I said, you need to have a TV or something. He said, there's a TV, but it's on silent, and it's got closed caption going across the bottom. And I said, this is a place full of people who can't see. Why would you have closed caption and silent TV? So I thought that was really funny.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That is funny. Oh, well, it's got closed captioning on it. Well, you've got an office full of people who can't see.
Yeah. Yeah. It was crazy. And I've had people, I was going to a new specialty doctor. This happened like in the last 2 weeks. And when I called to make my appointment, I said, well, I'm blind, so I'll be coming in a cab, and I'll just get to your waiting room and then need help into the office because I'm not aware of how their office is set up. And she said, well, don't you have a nurse or an attendant? And I said, a nurse or an attendant? I'm not sick. She said, well, if you're blind, don't you have someone that takes care of you? And I said, no, I live by myself and I take cabs to my appointments. I don't have to rely on my mom or friends to do everything for me. And that took many years to do that. Probably in the last 5 years is when I started doing the cabs by myself and just taking myself to appointments and places because, you know, you kind of can wear your family out if you have to do that so much.
Oh, that's very thoughtful of you. That's considerate. Do you take an Uber or Lyft or anything like that or just a regular cab?
Well, I have taken Uber and Lyft, but I have, through Job and Family Services, they have free medical cabs that go to pharmacies and doctor's appointments, and they even go to the site center and a couple other places, and it's a free ride. It's paid through Job and Family Services, JFS. So all I had to do is every year fill out a new application. My eye doctor signs it, and I call when I want, and they come and text me when they're on their way and call when they're here and get in the cab and get on my merry way and then just call them for a return call. And it's so nice because it's a very independent feeling.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's great. That's a great service. Everyone should have that.
Yeah.
That's one of the hardest things when you're blind, the transportation issue, isn't it?
Yes, and I miss driving. I loved driving. And when I lived in South Florida, I had a little cute PT cruiser with a sunroof and
I love it.
All decked out for the beach. And, you know, there's just some days when I'm having a woe is me, I'm blind moment. I think, oh, I just wish I could get in the car and drive and go, you know, get some ice cream or something. And then I have to call a cab, go get it. By the time I get home, it would be soggy and messy, you know, in my today world.
Oh, my gosh. Well, so then did you cook a lot before you were blind?
I did. I cooked. I helped my ex-husband raise his three daughters, so I cooked for a family of five, and I jokingly still tell people I do that, but I actually do cook. I can't cook for one. If I get started on something, I end up putting in so much ingredients of one thing that I have to make the other next ingredients large till I find that I have to freeze things. So my freezer is full of soups and like chicken entrees, different things I've made that I put into one serving packages, and I put a Braille, you know, label on them so I know what it is, and then I can have, you know, defrosted and I can have a dinner for myself. But especially cooking with the crock pot, you know, it makes a lot of food. And even
definitely.
The meatball recipe for today calls for, it makes 16 meatballs. Well, one person isn't going to be eating 16 meatballs in one day. So, you know, I would freeze some of them.
You turn into a meatball. Well,
yeah.
You know, I totally get what you're saying because I can't cook for one person either, just to like, okay, this is just for me. I mean, even if you have to like give it to neighbors or something, but how do you mark your things in the freezer?
Well, I put them in individual half gallon Ziploc freezer containers, usually freezer bags, or I put them in like Gordon Food Services here. They have containers you can get. I put them in the container, a little Tupperware container that's a throwaway kind of thing. It's not real Tupperware, it's, you know, plasticware. And then I have these slick coated papers. Basically what they are is what you would print pictures out on. Kevin told me about this tip because Leah uses it, but you can buy this kind of paper that you would print pictures on, so it's glossy.
Right.
So you can, so I just tape it on to the bag, and then in the freezer it doesn't, like if it defrosts and then refrosts, it wouldn't get wet. and I still am able to read the Braille.
Oh, so you have like, do you have like a Braille marker or Braille machine that you
I have the Braille. It's called a Perkins writer.
Yes.
They're about $1,000, but thankfully I had a donation. Someone had given the Sight Center an extra one, and they gave it to Kevin and Leah. And when I was almost done finishing my class, Leah gave it to me to use, but it's kind of been adopted by me. Yes, it's like a typewriter, only it has three fingers on one side and three on the other side, because Braille's made up of six cells. So each letter is made of between one and six of these things you push down on. So that's how, and it basically, it's like an embosser. It embosses the dots for Braille onto the paper. So by the end, you have, you know, the whole thing written out.
I see. You know, it seems like everything, the machines, technology, everything is just so very expensive for people who are blind, for anybody. I mean, like, no one has $1,000 to whip down.
Yeah, even JAWS, you know, the talking for your computer is expensive. Yeah, I totally agree with you, and I don't understand that, because, you know, in a sighted world, we have everything that talks to us, like between Alexa, and I have the Echo Show, which is Amazon's version of, basically, it has a camera in it, and, oh, she's talking to me, sorry.
Because you said Alexa, but, or you said her name.
I said Amazon. Anyway, it has a camera on it, and I just say, what am I holding? And she says, just a minute. And then there's a little beeping sound, and she'll say, you're holding a can of celery soup condensed, or, and then I know what I have, and then I make a Braille label for it and then stick it back in the pantry. Because as I go, you know, a lot of cans feel the same.
Sure. Oh my God.
I don't know if it's pineapple or beans.
What is the name of that again? That is really interesting. I hadn't heard about that.
It's called the Echo Show, and it's the same thing as an Alexa. I have an Echo Dot in my bedroom and Alexa in the kitchen on the stove that I use for timers, and it gives me lots of recipes I get from there, and it actually goes through the step-by-step instructions. So I've tried out some recipes that have actually worked. And then the Echo Show is larger, and it has a camera on it, and it has a little TV that if you're sighted, you can watch, you know, Netflix or Hulu or different things on it. But I obviously can't see that. I just see the light coming from it, being emitted from it. But with the camera on it, and you ask, what am I holding? I think that's the neatest thing for people that are blind.
Oh, that is. I would love it myself. That's really interesting. Yeah. I haven't heard about that.
Yeah, it's new.
But yeah, that's amazing. So
my brother got it for me for Christmas, and I believe it had just come out in maybe October of this past year.
Oh, this is the first I've heard of it. But hey, I got your recipe for the meatballs, and it sounds like the most amazing. It sounds like the most amazing meatball recipe I've ever seen. I'm gonna try it. Yeah, if you want to share that with our listeners, go ahead.
Sure. Well, with this recipe, plan on getting your hands dirty, because you are going to mix with your hands. So that's the prerequisite. Because there's not really any good way to mix all the ingredients together without getting messy. But it's 1.5 pounds of either ground turkey or ground beef, whatever you prefer. And then 2 cloves of garlic and 1 tablespoon of basil. Now, I'm using fresh basil, and I'm saying 1 tablespoon. If you're going to use the basil that is not fresh, that comes out of the spice jar, you might want to go down to 1 teaspoon of that, because when you're using fresh, you know, as you cut it up, the leaves are creating air in between themselves. So I always use 1 tablespoon of the fresh basil. And then it's 1 teaspoon of oregano. And then you need a half cup of grated onions, and even minced onions will not do. You definitely want to do it on the grater because you don't want the consistency of a chewy onion or a crunchy onion. You want it to mix in well with all the ingredients. And then there's one egg that you're going to want to have that will keep everything together, and 3/4 cups of breadcrumbs, and you can get any of the breadcrumbs. When I first got this recipe, it said to leave some bread out and let it dry up and use that, but that's way too difficult. Just get breadcrumbs. So what you would like to do is take your meat and put it in a bowl and mix it around. I use my hands, and then you punch with your fist a hole in the middle of it, so that you can begin to put all of your ingredients in the middle, except your breadcrumbs. So basically the egg, the garlic, the basil, the oregano, and there is a half teaspoon of salt and half teaspoon of pepper, but I always kind of add that in at the end. You can add it into that well you create, and then mix it all up really good with your hands. And then you add the 3/4 cup of the breadcrumbs so that it can, I've noticed that if I add it to that well, it's too big and nothing mixes properly. So you're going to mix it up again with the breadcrumbs. And you should have your oven preheated to 450, and either use a nonstick pan or use some cooking spray or just a little olive oil or something rubbed around the bottom of the pan. And you want to break your meat into 4 portions, and with each of those portions you make 4 meatballs out of each quarter. So you're going to end up with 16 meatballs, and they're a fairly decent size. I mean, they're not little like a Swedish meatball, but it's enough that if somebody has 3 meatballs or 4 meatballs, if they're a big eater, then they'll be well satisfied. So you put your meatballs, 16 of them, if you can fit them onto your greased pan or your nonstick pan, and you put them in the oven for 12 minutes. And for me, I found 12 minutes is good. Sometimes I've given it 14 minutes only because if you take it out and cut down the middle and you're sighted, you could see if there's pink inside. But, you know, if I cut it down the middle, I'm not going to be able to tell the difference. So 12 or 14, depending on what you want. And once your timer goes off, you take them out and let them cool just to touch. And then in a little bowl or plate, have Parmesan cheese. And it can be the good old shaker kind that you get at the grocery store, or it could be hand grated, or, you know, from the block of Parmesan cheese. And you want to roll each meatball around individually in the Parmesan, and then you put them back on the tray and you put them back in the oven. Your oven is off at this point, but you put them back in the oven for 4 to 5 minutes, and it's just hot enough still that it kind of caramelizes the cheese onto the meatball. And then I usually don't make a homemade sauce. I have before, and it's just so time consuming that I use jarred pasta sauce. And you just add it to your pasta sauce, and the Parmesan also makes a nice texture and flavor in your sauce. And then cook up your favorite pasta, which mine is penne, but some people, I know that being blind, having spaghetti can be a big challenge. So penne is really easy. You can stick your fork through it, the little hole, and pick it up easier than a spaghetti situation, because I tend to wear a lot of my food on my shirt if I'm not careful.
Oh, no.
So, yeah.
Yeah, but at least you have an excuse. Those of us with sight have no excuse.
Yeah, well, I sometimes, when I'm home alone, I use a clothing protector. But if I go out to a restaurant, you know, I've been known to make a mess, and I just clean myself up in the bathroom. But I guess the messier you are, the better the food was.
That's a good point. That's the way to go.
Yeah. And then just make sure that, cleanup for that is really pretty easy. You have the bowl, you have your Parmesan bowl, and you have your baking pan. That's it. Kind of, as long as you have a large enough bowl to mix up the meat and everything in it, that's all you would need for that part of the recipe, which I love. I mean, I'll do dishes happily, but if I can get away with 3 or 4 things, then that's not too bad.
Well, that, the part about the rolling the bowl and the Parmesan, that's new to me. That sounds like a great idea.
Yeah.
I never thought about it.
Yep. When I got this recipe, the first time I tried it, I hadn't turned the oven off, the 450, and they were a little too crispy for my liking. So I went back to the recipe and found it and read the part where it says turn off the oven after you cook them for 12 to 14 minutes. I kind of forgot that part. So you definitely want to make sure your oven's off. So by the time that your meatballs have cooled enough to the touch, your oven is just hot enough that it will melt the cheese without, frying it up hard.
Sure, and it doesn't take a whole lot because that cheese is grated so fine. I make jokes. I call it sawdust, but it doesn't take a lot.
It is sawdusty. I've used both the hand grated off of a Parmesan block and the good old shaker stuff that comes in that jar that, you can get anywhere. And I don't know which I prefer better. I mean, if you want to go to the extra trouble and grate your own Parmesan, it's fine, but there really isn't any difference in the taste.
Well, let me ask you something. What if you met someone and they had just gone blind, what would you tell them?
I would tell them that you may be blind, but you need to find a vision for yourself. Because until I was blind and actually realized what I wanted to do with my life, which was do volunteer work in my church, to get involved in diverse opportunities for the visually impaired and a few other blind groups that I'm in, that you need to keep going, but make a vision for yourself so you're not just wondering, what am I supposed to do or what can I do? Go to those things and you'll see what you can do once you're there and actually surprise yourself. You can do a lot more than you think you can do. I've had people compliment me, saying, oh, I didn't really know you were blind, or you don't act blind. I don't know what that means, but I don't know what acting blind is. But
there's also you don't look blind.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, my left eye is closed a good portion of the way, and my right eye is closed about halfway because the scarring of the corneas. And there's no other way to really fix it except by stretching the eye, which is very uncomfortable. And I've done it sometimes, but more often than not, I just let it go. But
well,
yes, I have friends that are blind and have plastic eyes. They have their eyes removed, but their eyes are wide open. And people say, you don't look blind. I still see your eyes. And they're like, well, these aren't even my eyes.
People just say funny things sometimes and they don't realize how they come off. We had one of our audiences, somebody mentioned that they saw on the video that the people looked like they were sleeping. I'm like, they're blind. Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Well, a little story. I was at a woman's house and she was listening to a tape on audio, a book, and I thought, oh, how boring. Well, I love listening to my Bard Mobile books. And then I remember someone was helping her in the kitchen and said, well, you can talk to her while I sit here. And I was young, I was in my 20s, but I didn't say anything to her. I was afraid. I don't know why, but I felt like, oh, she won't understand me. And she didn't go blind till she was in her 60s and she was in her 70s. And I just sat there and I felt stupid, like I didn't know what to say. So now I can understand if someone is quiet around me, maybe they feel awkward at first. So I like to break the ice with a joke or make somebody laugh or make a joke at my blind expense, and someone laughs and realizes, oh, it's not all serious, you know.
You know, I think that people are just nervous about saying the wrong thing, and sometimes they say the wrong thing, but there's no,
yeah.
Is there even a wrong thing to say? Like, you can sound silly by saying, oh, you don't look blind, but, you know, do you take offense at that, or do you just sort of laugh it off?
No. Well, I think if you take offense at it, you're taking your life too seriously. You need to laugh and, you know, have levity. So I'm blind. Yeah, I may look good. Yeah, but I can't see you. So, or I joke with my mom and I tell her, wow, your haircut is gorgeous. And she's like, oh, stop that, you know. And another friend of mine, whenever I get my hair cut, he always says, you look beautiful. And I always tell him, you're looking handsome. So, you know, you have to play with life. If you take it too seriously, you're just going to be miserable.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I totally agree. Well, what if someone wants to get a hold of you, how do they reach you?
Oh, well, you could call me. My phone number is 425-463-6849, or I can be reached at my email, which is Jane Butler, all one word, 2014@icloud.com. And if anyone has questions or concerns or relates to anything I'm saying and wants to chat, I'd be more than happy to.
Well, that's great, Jane. Thank you so much for being here. I think we've all been enlightened, and oh my God, I'm so hungry for meatballs.
Well, I was going to make them today, but my meat is still on defrosting, so I guess it's salmon.
Oh, no.
For dinner. Yeah.
Well, if anyone
well,
in the audience...
thanks, Renee, for having me.
Oh, of course, of course. I enjoyed it. And if anyone in the audience wants to go to our website and see the Jane's meatballs, the recipe for Jane's meatballs, you'll be able to do that. It's www.cookingwithoutlookingtv.wordpress.com. Again, that's cookingwithoutlookingtv.wordpress.com. And as we like to say, Jane, thank you for helping us change the way we see blindness. Have a great day.
Thanks. You too, Renee.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.